Under the Scope.
Hey, Scope fans.
Hi.
We are here.
It's been a while.
The three of us,
plus
Carrie, with a Under the Scope movie review.
Mm-hmm.
And this time we take on the sequel to Captain America. That is, of course, Captain America Winter Soldier, or The Winter Soldier.
Let's get that article in there. It's very important. It's part of the marketing. It's Marvel's Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Sorry. It's very complicated. Very, very complicated. So it's a beautiful, sunny Saturday afternoon. Captain America is poised to make somewhere in the range of $80 to $95 million this weekend.
It's pretty good April.
This is going to be a big movie. The question is it worth the big tally of money, of cash that it's going to pull in? Jared, explain this movie.
I'd say it's worth it. Thanks for listening, folks.
Done. Turn it off.
So we pick up after the Avengers. Our Marvel world has changed a bit. Captain America Black Widow are working for S.H.I.E.L.D. and they go on missions and whatnot. But it seems like Captain America is a bit reluctant. He's not quite sure of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s mission, so on and so forth.
Adam, he's all American, true blue.
Yes.
He sees black and white.
Right.
Justice good, lying bad.
That is, yes, I agree.
Is that simple?
Sure.
All right.
He's a Boy Scout. What do you want?
He's a Boy Scout.
That's his thing. So so certain events happen. I don't know how spoilerific we want to get on this.
Let's keep it tight.
We'll keep it tight. So certain events happen that sort of have Cap questioning whether or not he wants to be part of S.H.I.E.L.D. and where his future is going to be. And he's sort of also struggling, you know, kind of connecting to the future. There's a lot of flashbacks to his past in the first movie. And then something happens.
Well, a lot of things happen.
One particular event happens.
Adam, say it what it is.
9/11 happened and it changed everything.
Everything. Everybody, never forget. What I say.
Well, it turns out that S.H.I.E.L.D. has a plan to launch a series of helicarriers that will be able to help prevent future events from happening by... there's an algorithm or something. They have the technology to sort of detect bad guys before they get to do their bad things and take them out.
Isn't this the plot of CBS's Numbers?
Yes.
It's the exact same plot.
It's also the plot of Minority Report, and we got pre-crime going on.
Yes.
It's a thing that's been seen before in science fiction and, you know...
Or today with the NSA.
NSA, exactly. You've got Snowden. I mean, you've got a lot of modern-day parallels, Adam.
Absolutely.
Snowden, Winter Soldier, hello.
It's all the same.
He is in Russia.
Mm. I love it.
Anyway, so something happens to a key player, which sort of sets our path in motion. And what happens is that Captain America and
Black Widow.
And then their new friend Falcon end up being separated.
They found him in a pet store.
They sort of go rogue and have to go underground to sort of determine what's going on with everything.
Sarah Palin-esque.
That's about as specific as I can get.
She could see where the Winter Soldier was being kept from her doorstep.
She could absolutely do that. So the movie stars Chris Evans. Samuel L. Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
The girl, Lucius,
right?
LeVon.
Yeah. The girl that played that girl you can't remember.
Scarlett Johansson.
Who else?
You've got Anthony Mackie, new to the film franchise.
Robert Redford.
Anthony Mackie is Falcon, by the way.
Who's a Winter Soldier?
Kobe Smulders. Sebastian Stan, who was, as you know, Bucky Barnes from the first film.
This is the Gary Shanley Marvel movie. Gary Shanley is in it.
Can we just say what's going on with Gary Shanley? Is he getting old?
He's never been a good-looking person.
I know, but now he looks like he's just ready to give up.
Like he's
puffy.
With Gilbert Gunn.
Yeah, I don't... Anyway.
I'm going to be honest with you, Adam. If there's another person you don't want to merge with, it's probably Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be the last person. You kind of look like Gilbert Godfrey.
I worry about my heritage making me look like that when I'm those guys.
I worry about my fake heritage making me look like that. I'm in bigger trouble than you are. That's the problem. Sorry, Carrie. Great. I hope the mics pick that up. So, directed by the Russo brothers.
Anthony and Joe?
Sure.
I think they're tied to Community, are they not?
They did Community, they did Arrested Development.
Ah, well that makes sense why Danny Pudi shows up at one point.
It's a very strange cameo.
Yumi and Dupree directors?
Yes. So so we've got this menagerie of Marvel movie madness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the way this movie plays out, there are direct impacts and implications for the Marvel TV show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It has direct impact, obviously, in the next movie, Marvel's Avengers 2.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to have impact on the Guardians of the Galaxy, but you never know with these guys. You never know.
The thing is, I feel like they have decided to not keep the status quo of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that they have set up to this point, and are definitely flipping the script, to use a colloquialism.
Well, that's quite a colloquialism. And here's the thing, though, Jared, is that this is actually tying into certain threads that have been played out in the comic books.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're doing something completely different.
Okay. So I wasn't aware of that.
That's what's very interesting to me, is that they're diving deep into the webs of deception and lies and who's good and who's bad, and they're going to go for it. We'll see if these ideas play out in the Age of Ultron. My feeling is it may not.
Okay.
That they'll leave that to be the bigger movie, exactly, where you're dealing with these giant threats, and then maybe you pull back a little bit and you deal with these sneaky business where you can do it with one character and be okay with it.
Well, it seems like the threads of the Winter Soldier are definitely going to carry over into the next Captain America film, for sure.
Which the Russo brothers are also directing.
Yes.
Which, good for them. So, sure. So Adam, let's go to you, since you don't often get to be in these reviews with us. What did you think of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle trailer? That's really what we need to talk about.
I've already seen it once on the internet, and I leaned over to Mandy as it started, and I said, I'm really excited for this.
Were you serious?
Didn't pick up on that.
Did you say that sarcastically, or are you really excited about it?
Yeah, of course I'm sarcastic.
With their human noses?
With their human noses.
I like the fact that they can clone Shrek, and you have four Shreks with different headbands.
Yeah. They're giant. Anyway, enough of that.
Adam, get to the...
Lucy, on the other hand, I am excited about. Because it's Luc Besson.
Yeah, just except for the whole 10% of the brain trope.
But. Oh, I know. But whatever. It's a movie.
Yeah, stay on target, Adam.
All right, what are we talking about?
Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I don't think anyone should be that this is an enjoyable movie. It's dumb. Maybe dumber, I think, than most of the recent other Marvel movies.
Really?
In
dumb.
What
makes you say dumb?
So, are we to assume that the Star Wars movies does not exist in this universe? Because the computers on the things that they had, and the battleships that they had to destroy, were in the most sensitive locations possible.
Underneath in a giant clear bubble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree and just choose to ignore that because it's a comic book movie.
I know. I'm not saying don't. I'm just, like, I still enjoyed it. It's just, as I was watching it, I'm not usually able to take myself out of it and say, man, that's dumb.
Yeah.
And I was able to for that. Like, it seemed like a dumb plan in general because I feel like if they had launched those things, then anyone not in that radius that is a superhero would be like, all right, well, I guess let's go take it down those helicarriers now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, is that when you have these Marvel movies, the one thing you have to push aside is that you can't have that logic that, all the heroes are going to come and rush to save the day. You just can't do it. Just like in comic books, you have a Captain America solo comic book.
Right.
You would think that with these giant threats that he's facing,
then maybe it's Iron Man's day off.
Everyone would be there, you know? So
he gets Sunday off. It's God's day.
So you just have, but although Iron Man was in a weird sort of way in this movie, so.
You think he does all the interviews directly? You think he was interviewing Kobe Smolders?
No. When they were setting up the targeting computers, one of the people targeted was Anthony Stark.
Yes.
If you were not paying attention, sir.
Yes, I saw. Because when they zoomed out, it was over New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you got it.
Obviously very enjoyable. It's just that when you say those things, but then at the same time, they play this up. They always talk about New York. They're obvious 9/11, references and implications, so it's like they're trying to make it real, they're trying to have it both ways. But again, this is how all of these movies have been. I don't care.
People don't fly also.
Well, he didn't fly, he had a machine that helped him fly.
Okay, well, fine. People don't have machines, but
the government's trying to keep airplanes. Those down.
I think Jared's,
those do exist,
Jared's
just
talking.
Like hoverboards.
Okay.
And the other thing, like you have three helicarriers that are being built well beneath Washington, D.C. I mean, you're not going to have things like that. There are There are comic book tropes.
Okay, can I talk about how many people died directly because of Captain America's actions?
Well, they probably just fell right into the water. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay.
It's how many people would have died had he not done it, though. I mean, these are casualties of war. It's unavoidable, and
what
are
you going
to do? I
was just affected by it because I have not seen a movie with that many children in the audience.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Dying,
yeah.
And I was just like, this is awkward.
There's a lot of kids. Yeah. A lot of people getting shot.
But, like I said, I liked it. I think that... I think that it's an excellent character for someone that, in the comic books, I'm not a big fan of, that they're able to turn that into a series that I, you know, enjoy, and I like all the characters that are associated with it. I think using Black Widow as his buddy cop is actually a really, really smart move.
As I pointed out to Carrie in the film, Black Widow, through the entire thing, was wearing a necklace that
Black
had a...
Widow? Who's that?
Scarlett Johansson.
Ah, okay.
She was wearing a necklace that had an arrow on it. Which is a direct reference to Hawkeye, which they are romantically linked.
Ooh.
So there you go. Mm-hmm. They're always thinking about these things, Adam. Mm-hmm. Carrie, Jared, let me ask you this question. Jared being a comic book fan, Carrie not being a comic book fan. She looks like she's a superstar with her sunglasses on, by the way. movie was very, very deep and heavy in a Marvel mythology, where I think that helps you to understand the movie if you know what's going on. Jared probably knows more than Carrie. Mm-hmm. What did you two think of that? Was this too dense of a film for you? Is it too dense of a film for the average movie-going public? Or is there enough understanding there that you can understand the film? She can figure it out. Well, way to go.
I don't think it was that.
Can you give us some examples, Shane?
Well, a lot of references to other characters in the Marvel Universe. You've got... I can't say a lot without spoiling the movie.
I don't think you need to know any of that stuff, honestly, to enjoy the film. I think if you do know about it, it definitely enhances the experience, and you can sort of see where they may or may not be going with the story. Obviously, they've sort of got license to change things from the comic canon as much as they need to make it fit, but... I just think the film stands on its own as kind of a nice political thriller that happens to have people in it with extraordinary abilities and extraordinary technology. I think if you took away all of the superpowered stuff, all of the technology stuff, dialed it back down to realistic levels, I think you could still make a pretty good film. I think it stands on its own and on those merits. And so having Captain America in there doing Captain America stuff is just a bonus, which I enjoyed quite a bit.
That chase scene near the beginning that culminates in the big thing that someone getting hurt. I don't know why we're pretending that no one... It's in the trailer.
I mean, it was also in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so...
Good car chase.
Yes. And there's a lot of just great action scenes just on their own. I mean,
it'd be nice to see Nick Fury actually getting into the action for once.
So, I don't know. For me, it was a really well-executed film. I think, it's not a film of nuanced performances for the most part, because that doesn't call for that, but I think there are some nice character scenes. Not everything is tied directly into the plot. You get a little conversations here and there between characters, which are just... moments between them, which I thought was a really nice touch.
The thing that I liked about it the most, which I think the Marvel movie universe has done successfully since the beginning, is the...
Finding dumb ways to include Stan Lee in cameos.
There you go. And beyond that, the fact that they are so successful in peeling back the layers of the onion, so you are getting more and more. And with every movie, there's always the anticipation, there's the expectation that there's a bigger story happening, and they do it successfully almost with every single movie.
I think if this was your first Marvel movie that you were planning to see, this is probably not the entry point.
Yeah, it's tough.
There's a little bit of backstory that you need to kind of have. But I think you don't necessarily need to be versed in the comics. I think if you've seen the films that have come to this point, even if you've just seen Captain America and maybe the Avengers, you probably have enough of a base.
Yeah.
But it builds on that, you're right. And I think everything from this point is going to have to build on that, and they expect that. The movies before this have done well enough that there's an expectation that people have seen them.
Yep.
And so, good on them. I like it that they don't have to kind of reset everything every time to make it accessible to everyone.
Well, since everyone in the world has practically seen these movies, it doesn't hurt. So, let's give this thing a score so I can go pick up my child.
The Scope score is 3 1/4 stars.
So there we go. 3 1/4 stars.
Probably loses some points for some of the things that Adam pointed out with maybe not being so smart in the where they placed certain parts of their helicarriers. But
and the fact of the matter is that I think that we didn't talk about it. I mean, there are some moments where the movie might drag a little bit here and there. And
I don't agree, but
I could tell because Carrie's playing with her hair.
I play with my hair all the time.
Were the moments when our neighbors in our seats pulled out their phones to check Facebook.
Yeah, they were.
See, I have fallen asleep. Asleep a little bit in Marvel movies, and I did not.
Watch. Which one?
I don't remember.
Captain America, last night.
Yeah, last
burned
night.
And served.
Wow.
Completely fell asleep.
Hey, look, if you've fallen asleep in a Marvel movie, it's okay. You could admit it. Just, you know, call our voicemail line at 612-21-SCOPE.
Wow. Let us transition.
Tell us all about it.
Nice.
Nah, yeah.
So there we go. Let's wrap this up. Make sure, if you're a listener, to listen to this on our podcasting mechanisms. If you like to watch it, watch it on YouTube.
I like how you tell them to listen to it as they're listening. I mean, how else would they know? How else would they hear your special?
That's part
special
of my
message.
Puzzle box mind.
Oh, okay.
You just try to wrap
puzzle
your head
box
around.
Mind.
Try to wrap your head around it.
I'll try.
So for everyone in the car, that would be Carrie, Jared, and Adam. I'm Shane. This is The Scope. Watch and keep listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.